Welcome to All Steelers Talk, your home for everything Pittsburgh Steelers, presented by AllSteelers.com.
Hello and welcome everybody to another episode, a little bit of a depressing episode, but that's okay. We're gonna bring livelihood back up. We're going to bring the energy back up, just like the Pittsburgh Steelers should do at practice this week, because they got absolutely annihilated against the Kansas City Chiefs in week 16, 36-10. Should have been 36-0, if we're being completely honest. This is All Steelers Talk. Make sure to subscribe to us at youtube.com/AllSteelersTalk. And check out your favorite podcast host on Twitter, at Nostrack, at Donnie Droon. Donnie, the Steelers are 7-7-1. Somehow this season is still very much alive. How are you feeling on this wonderful Tomlin Tuesday?
Is it alive?
Technically, it is. Technically, it's still alive.
Sure. it's still alive mathematically. I think it's actually really cool. I'm sitting in front of a bunch of wine stuff right now. Because our takes Noah's Jack wine. They've aged like fine wine. Before the season started, we sat on this podcast and said, if this is their best attempt at a throw everything at the kitchen sink type of run towards the Super Bowl. Sorry, Golden Retriever. If they threw everything at the kitchen sink in terms of the second Golden Retriever, geez, thank you. This is a very bad excuse for whatever Super Bowl run they tried to put together. I mean, this team almost topped the bottom. Disastrous. You can blame COVID, you can blame injuries. But I mean, the lack of secondary depth was very apparent. Letting Steven Nelson walk away was extremely strange. Drafting a guard who never really played center except for a few times in college, very strange. Drafting a running back in the first round while not addressing the offensive line, very strange. And then all of those small little pieces we talked about through the offseason tied itself together in the regular season. Now everybody's talking about, oh man, like, you know, this is a rebuild, and I want to make this very, very clear. What you're seeing right now is not a rebuild. No. This is not a rebuild. And if you think this team is in the beginning stages of a rebuild, you are sadly mistaken. This is the worst attempt of a Super Bowl last-ditch run for Big Ben that I have ever seen. Literally, that I have ever seen for any team. Any team.
Yeah, it's bad. It's exactly what you said. Joe Schobert threw it in there. Trey Turner, you can say whatever you want about David DeCastro. Trey Turner counts in that group. Najee Harris to magically fix the run game. We both knew that was a disaster move from the beginning, and I feel really bad for Najee Harris. Getting rid of Steven Nelson for zero reason whatsoever. Vince Williams leaving, and everybody expecting Robert Spillane to be that next guy. You could chalk this up to whatever you want, and I think people still do find excuses from time to time. Oh, Stephon Tuitt hasn't played. Tyson Alualu has been hurt. The offensive line is young. They're still developing. You're exactly right. This is not a rebuild, and that's where the Pittsburgh Steelers should be right now. They should have used this season, said, Ben, it stinks. Your last year with us was an 11-5 run. It was phenomenal. I get it that you didn't want to lose to the Browns at home in the playoffs. That's not how you wanted your legacy to end. Sadly, that's how it should have ended. Come back in this year, struggle for a year, maybe struggle next year. In 2 years, 3 years, you're a good football team again. Now they've said, okay, let's delay that for a year. Let's hold everything together as tightly as we can and see what we can do. Unfortunately, last year this team wasn't good enough to win a Super Bowl. This year, they're certainly not good enough to win a Super Bowl, and you're exactly right. They should be in a rebuild mode. They're not in a rebuild mode. It's just a wasted year to head towards what will be an even worse year next year. I think that's the thing that people don't want to talk about. Next year is not going to be maybe this team makes the playoffs type of year. Next year is going to be a 6-5 win season for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And there are going to be a lot of moments where people are like, I can't believe this team is this bad. This team should have been this bad this season, but they're, like you said, they're holding on to everything that they can. It's not working.
I think me and you had the luxury of not growing up watching the 80s team, the team that struggled so mightily after the Steelers won the 4 Super Bowls in the 70s. And I think right now, I think we're kind of entering that territory to where we're about to watch a lot of bad football, at least until the guys in the front office can kind of tie everything up. I actually have a question for you, though, because I do want to get your opinion on it. Do you think if this is Ben's last year, right? You know, he's coming up on the last home game of the season. Do you think he should tell people that he's going out? Just so like we can like officially like kind of be like, hey, Ben, appreciate you. Thanks for everything you did. One last try at Heinz Field. Here you go.
This is okay. So I like that question because that's not who Ben is. And I, you know, I respect that. But at the same time, it is who Ben is. You know what I mean? Ben's always been the guy that's like, you could, you know, put everything on me because that's who I am. I mean, he didn't like Mason Rudolph coming in here for whatever reason that was. Every time something bad happens, he's redirecting the blame towards him. Ben likes that. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say Ben likes attention, but Ben knows that he's the star quarterback and a Hall of Famer for the Pittsburgh Steelers. From the beginning, it shouldn't have been like a now thing. It should have been from the jump. Maybe 5-6 weeks into the season, Ben should have said, look, it, this team is good enough that maybe we could go on a playoff run and I'm going to push for that playoff run. But guys, this is my last year. We're done after this one. We're going to keep it going. We're going to see what we could do. I think that if the Steelers played better at the beginning of the season and this season was still, I guess it still is alive, but was more alive at week 5 or 6, that would have been a better option for him at this point. I think at this point, he's just like, okay, I can't turn attention away from this team because and put it on myself because we need everybody to be focused on the Cleveland Browns in this playoff run, which stinks because the season didn't work out in a way where he could put all the attention on him. Do I think that he should tell them so that we could just get it over with and start to move on? I don't. But like I said, 5-6 weeks ago, if the Steelers were in a better position – that would have been the time, you know, because then you say, oh, guys, hey, you know, this is my last one. This is my last year. We're going to ride this one out. And hopefully we're going to ride this one out into the sunset. At that moment, you got a Ray Lewis, Peyton Manning, Kobe Bryant type situation. This is our guy. This is one of the greatest players to ever play for this organization. We are going to do everything we possibly can to ride this one out and make sure that he walks away a Super Bowl champion. Jerome Bettis, a perfect example of this again. But at this point in the season, it's too late. You're thinking, okay, we got to make a playoff run. Everybody knows this is your last year, but I can't confirm that because I need everybody focused on the playoff run. It's a different mentality. It stinks, but that's my thought on it. And I think that, you know, it just didn't work out for him. He should have did it week one and said, hey guys, we're 1-0. This is my last one. Let's go win a Super Bowl for me. Once they were 1-5, it was like, yeah, you know, I can't do that now. I can't say because everybody's just going to give up. So it's a tough situation for him. It stinks, but I think he knows, everybody else knows. Yeah, it's done.
Well, remember too, Noah, a couple weeks ago after the Steelers beat the Ravens, we were hearing talks about, you know, Ben possibly coming back to play again next year. And I think those talks have really quieted down the last couple of weeks after his lack of not great play. But then again, I mean, with so many other things going wrong for him, what do you expect for him?
I think right now it's not like a lot of people want to blame Ben. Ben does make mistakes. Every quarterback makes mistakes when you have the ball in your hand every single play. It's tough not to make mistakes. But I think Ben's play has been fine. You know, he's working with no running game, a worse running game than last season. And his two tight ends are hurt. You know, Juju Smith-Schuster's gone. Ray McLeod has suddenly turned into their top target. It's a disaster for him. I feel bad. I do. I think we both feel bad for Ben Roethlisberger, you know, whether you like him or not. This isn't how he should have went out. And I've mentioned this to you before, and I've been kind of joking about it, but maybe it should be a little serious. I think that the better situation for Ben Roethlisberger and this team, and this sucks, and nobody wants to hear this, but if the Pittsburgh Steelers don't make the playoffs, and they go to Baltimore, they win in Cleveland, and then they go to Baltimore, and they win in Baltimore. And that's how Ben goes out. And somehow, I think the math works out where if they do win these last two games, they squeeze in as a wild card spot. I'm not 100% sure. But if somehow it works out where they don't make the playoffs and they win these last two games, that is the best case situation or scenario for Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Because nothing is going to hurt worse than going to a playoff game on the road as the Pittsburgh Steelers and getting totally annihilated like they did in Kansas City and saying, okay, that's how Ben's got to go out. Like, that's not what anybody wants. If he wins in Baltimore and they are eliminated from the playoffs at that point and he says, guys, this was an incredible run. I ended exactly how I wanted to end it. I think at that moment, it's just more respectable than getting smoked by the Titans or something in
round one. I completely agree, because I remember last year after the Steelers got walloped by the Browns in that wild card game, me and you sat up here and we were like, bro, like, this doesn't feel good. Like, if Ben retires, this can't be the last time we see him. Like, we the final images of his career can't be him chilling with Marquise Pouncey on the bench. You know, it can't, yeah, especially after a game like that. So, I think knocking down both the Browns and the Ravens, you know, two teams that still have a lot to play for, you know, left this season. Go back to your comment about them, like, still, like, possibly winning out, maybe squeezing into a wild card. I know before the game last week, the Steelers were one of, like, a handful of teams that could have won the remaining three games of their schedule and still somehow, like, missed the playoffs mathematically. So with the loss to the Chiefs, I'm not exactly sure how that, like, plays out and factors in.
Yeah, I don't know either.
That also might be the very pessimistic side of me that just, one, doesn't want to see the team in the playoffs, just because why waste anybody's Saturday or Sunday? I mean, come on, let's be real. Like, that game would probably go on Nickelodeon.
I mean, exactly, though. That's where we'd be. Like, it'd just be a game where you knew going into it that the expectations were not high. And, you know, like our boy Freddie came and said here, it's not Ben's fault. This is not on Ben. And I think that's a perfect transition here into whose fault it is, because Ben came back with full expectations that he was getting a team ready to go on another 11-0 run. He did not get that. And I think it's finally starting to, at first it was, oh, this is the offensive line. Oh, this is the wide receivers. Oh, the defense is playing really bad. Let's blame Matt Canada. Let's blame Keith Butler. At this point, I think the question has to be asked, how much, if not all the blame, do we put on Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert?
As a collective pair, I feel like there's got to be a lot of blame put on them. I mean, and I want to make this very clear. Somebody asked me a couple of days ago, actually, how everything worked and stuff. And it's such a big ecosystem, man, because, like, the general manager has to get the right guys to, like, you know, work together, whether it be, you know, on the field, in the locker room. The head coach has to motivate said guys and put those guys in the right positions on the field, and hire two good coordinators and a very good coaching staff to make sure they maximize the players' potential. And the players have to go out on the field and execute whatever they're given. And for the Steelers, it's been a very, very, you know what storm in terms of just not having any of those three go together, right?
Yeah.
So I think it all starts in the offseason. It all starts in assembling the team. And you and I both knew this team wasn't going to do anything this year. Not after the horrible offseason that they had. I think a lot of it has to go on Colbert, and I think a lot of it has to go on Tomlin. This is coming from a guy who really likes Mike Tomlin. I mean, obviously, I think we had this conversation last week. He's no doubt like a top five coach in the league, just in terms of, you know, his resume and what he's been able to accomplish. But at some point, you have to take ownership. I know Tomlin can't go out there and protect Big Ben. I know Tomlin can't go out there and fill running lanes to stop the other team from running the ball for 200 yards per game. But you're the head coach. You're paid millions of dollars to go figure it out. Figure it out. Figure it out.
I feel like a lot of moments in this season, you looked at the Pittsburgh Steelers and you've said a couple of things. One, they've given up in a game. Two, they're undisciplined. Three, the culture is just kind of turning into something that the Steelers are not used to having, nor do they want to have. When Antonio Brown left, the biggest thing was, oh, Mike Tomlin kept Antonio Brown under wraps well enough to, you know, hide the whatever word you want to use to describe Antonio Brown and the chaos that he brought. Once he left, things got dramatically worse. I feel Juju Smith-Schuster is a much more respectable person than Antonio Brown is. Chase Claypool is a much more respectable person than Antonio Brown was. Mike Tomlin, I feel, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But when I look at this situation, I think Mike Tomlin had to be more aggressive for guys like Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown because he understood that they needed to be kept on that short leash. But I don't think he feels the same way about guys like Juju and Chase Claypool. And this is no attack on Juju, because I think Juju is a phenomenal player. But Juju does make, at times, and we saw it last season, he was at times putting blame other places when the blame should have been on himself. And yeah, I'm definitely referring to the TikTok stuff. Chase Claypool puts blame on other things when the blame should be on himself. I think that that's Mike Tomlin. That's Mike Tomlin letting these guys go a little bit, having a little bit of a farther leash. I mean, Ray McLeod pointed for a first down, and I don't agree with the taunting penalty either, but he pointed for a first down when they're down 30 points. 30 points. The defense has celebrated touchdowns when you're down 23 points, or interceptions when you're down 23 points. Yep. At no point does this team feel as if it is under control by their head coach. I think Mike Tomlin believes that this team is filled with a bunch of respectable men, and I agree with that. But his approach has changed, and I believe that the word player coach has become very soft in the terms of Mike Tomlin, and that's I agree. I think that in that aspect and assembling the team, I feel like that's a different conversation. And I agree with you there. Like that's on both of them. That is an ecosystem that did not work well, that didn't seem to be on the same page, or their game plan, if they were on the same page, was atrocious.
Yep.
But when it comes to on the field play and controlling these guys, Mike Tomlin has lost this team. And I feel very confidently saying that. I think Mike Tomlin, Mike Tomlin is a Hall of Fame coach, but he's always been so respectable. And I think this year, that respect is pretty much gone in the eyes of me.
Here's the thing. Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, those guys were good enough to where whatever they did outside of the white lines on the football field didn't matter.
Yeah.
Literally did not matter. They were so good at their job. And the surrounding team was so good to the point where as long as they went out and they took care of business – throw all the Gatorade coolers you want. Throw all the bags of gummy dicks that you want at people. Go out there and produce, right? This team, and you already alluded to it this year, you have opponents, division rivals telling you that it looked like you gave up. You have team legends calling out Chase Claypool for what he did and the rest of the team. Ryan Clark, Ike Taylor, numerous other guys on Twitter have taken very big shots at this team for not playing for one another, for only playing for themselves. This is not the Steelers team we grew up watching. The standard, the Steelers way, the teams from 05 and 08 and 2010, the ones that set the standard for these guys right now, so disappointed in them. And it tells a lot whenever guys who – it's one thing for, like, idiots like me and you to hop on a podcast and tell people all of this. It's another thing for guys who wore the black and gold.
Yep.
Guys who held up Super Bowl trophies. Guys who put their life on the line every year for people who wave 60,000 terrible towels every Sunday to say, yeah, this team sucks. These guys are not a football team. They're just a bunch of dudes who just happen to wear the same color every Sunday.
That's what it feels like. That is a perfect way to describe this team right now. It feels like a bunch of guys who are wearing a Steelers jersey who are just here to play football. They ended up here. That's what they are. They're not even good. That's the thing. Like, there's no – and I think Juju brought a little bit of that. You know, Juju felt like a Pittsburgh Steeler. He had that relationship with everybody. Najee Harris gives me that feel as well. I think Najee's going to be a guy that brings this team together. T.J. Watt is one of those guys. Cam Hayward is a perfect example. Minka Fitzpatrick's another one. For the vast majority of the rest of them, it just feels like they're just here and they're just playing football. And a couple of years from now, I think that we'll be back to feeling as if this is a team again. But I don't think that includes guys like Chase Claypool. I don't think that includes, I mean, there's a lot of names out there. Trey Turner is one of them, and I get that Trey Turner will be gone. But I've always felt all season that Trey Turner does not play as well as he should play because Trey Turner is just kind of here. Like, he's just like, all right, I know what I have to do, and then I'm going to leave, you know? I think that there's a lot of guys on this team that, you're right, they're just here to play football. They ended up in Pittsburgh. They're just Steelers. That needs to change. We got a couple of questions. Let's answer them. Jump on Freddie's first here. When is the next time we have to wait for another Ben Roethlisberger to lead the team? I mean, Freddie, that could be in 2 years. That could be next year, you know? And I don't think that they get a quarterback that's phenomenal next season. But if they go out and draft a guy this season or next offseason, I think in 2 years, you have to give a quarterback 2 years to develop before you really see whether or not he's truly a star or not. I think in 2 years after they draft a quarterback, that could be the next franchise quarterback. Again, though, I don't think anybody could see that coming before it's already here. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. And it all comes down to what the team wants to do. If they feel like they can put together, you know, another shot of the Super Bowl run, I feel like in the offseason they're going to try to go out and maybe get a veteran quarterback, or, you know, it looks like they're going to at least roll with Mason Rudolph for 1 year, whether that be next year or the year following. But, you know, I've seen a couple of things to where this quarterback draft class isn't exactly phenomenal to grab a guy. And if the team really wanted to, if they were smart and, you know, wanted to think long-term about the future, lock a couple guys up in the offseason, Minkah being one of them, Deontay Johnson being another one of them. Add a couple pieces to the offensive line. Go out, start Mason Rudolph. If you like what you see, you have a quarterback. If you don't like what you see, you're probably in good draft position to get a really good franchise quarterback moving forward in the 2023 draft.
That's the Denver Broncos are a good example, I think, of this. That whole team is ready to win a Super Bowl outside of the quarterback position. And next year, if they go get a quarterback, they can win a Super Bowl.
Aaron Rodgers, baby.
That's what I'm saying. So I think the Pittsburgh Steelers need to take that approach. Give it a year. Develop this team. You put a quarterback in a bad situation, chances are he's not going to turn out to be great. So it's going to come down to what's around him. Build a team around him. I think I'm going to say 3 years. I'm going to say it's going to be 3 years before the Pittsburgh Steelers see another very good quarterback. That's if they don't go out and get a veteran. I don't believe they do go out and get a veteran.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Will the Pittsburgh Steelers stick with Matt Canada, or will they go find a new coordinator this season? I'm going to let you go first on this one.
Can I answer in two different ways? Do I think they should? Absolutely. I think Matt Canada should probably be relieved of his duties at this moment so they can start the process of finding somebody who is not in-house. Can they stop hiring people who are within the organization? Do you know how much a fresh set of eyes would benefit this offense?
Oh, yeah.
Tremendous leaps and bounds. Go get a forward-thinking guy that won't throw short of the sticks every third and fourth down. Go get a guy who knows how to utilize his talents and can actually build a rapport with the quarterback, whether that be Ben Roethlisberger or somebody else. Yep. Do I think they find the offensive coordinator? No. I think Canada's probably going to be here for another year, at least. I'm hoping it's just 1 year, but yeah.
Canada should have been fired the second that he called a pitch play on fourth and one after a pitch play did not work earlier in the game.
Oh, my God.
That's when Matt Canada should have been fired. Will they? I think that there actually is a possibility that Matt Canada, if he is not relieved of his duties this offseason, finds a different job somewhere. I think Matt Canada is starting to realize that this is not working for him. And when you talk to him, when we talk to him on Thursdays, it just kind of feels like he gets it. Like he understands that the criticism at the NFL level is much higher than the criticism at the college football level. It's much, much higher when you are an offensive coordinator for an offense that needs the next 2 or 3 years to develop into something at least decent. And you have a quarterback who does not care what you say. I mean, Mike Tomlin said it today. He said, when was asked, why don't you just give Ben the keys and just say, go for it. Okay. Well, and he said, yeah, I'm open to that. You should be open to that. He should call every offensive play. He should call every offensive play last year. He should call every offensive play this year. I know Ben Roethlisberger well enough to know that he would give the ball to Najee Harris enough times to make that beneficial. I also understand that Matt Canada is trying to make a fire out of the smallest sticks in the world, being the offensive line. It's not going to work. He's going to keep trying it. He got away from the fun stuff. This is nothing from what the offense looked like in the summer. I think once the season started, he realized, I don't really have the tools for this. And I could see him stepping away next season. Maybe as a mutual agreement thing, but I think this is an offseason where the Pittsburgh Steelers could look at their entire team and just say, yeah, I think it's time to start fresh. I think it's just time to just scrap it and start over. And, you know, maybe this season was a little bit of a kick in the butt to kind of get those things rolling. But again, we don't know. We've said that. People have said that about Randy Feuchner for years. I think Randy Feuchner the thing with Randy Feuchner is he was there long enough to have the tenure. Matt Canada does not have the tenure. I don't think anybody really cares. I don't think him and Ben Roethlisberger are very close at all. And
at least with Feuchner, like the rapport was there between him and Ben. Like he was the Steelers quarterback coach for a very long time. So like,
yeah.
I really feel Ben kind of like gave the nod for Tomlin to, you know, promote Feuchner and bring him on.
Do you think that the Steelers will move up in the draft considering several top 10 picks or to get a top 10 picks?
It depends on where they land. It depends on who's on the board. I mean, if there's like a franchise defining cornerback or like offensive lineman on the board, And it wouldn't cost them a whole lot for the future. Yeah, I mean, I can definitely see them doing it. I mean, we saw them pull the trigger on the Bush to jump from 20 to 10 to go get Devin Bush a few years back. So, you know, you definitely don't want to discount Kevin Colbert. But at the same time, you know, it's all going to depend on what they do in free agency, because free agency kind of sets the precedent for the draft. So, you know, if they do find a cornerback that they like, and if they do find an offensive lineman that they like, okay, you know, they might be a little bit more content on kind of just sitting where they're at and waiting for whoever to fall into the board and taking the best player available.
Yeah, I think this is where this question kind of was leaning towards. I'm not 100%, but I don't think that the Pittsburgh Steelers move up in the draft to get a quarterback at all. I don't think the Steelers draft a quarterback in the first round. Definitely. I apologize to good old L here. I don't believe that's the key to success. First off, like you said before, the quarterback class this year is average at best, maybe slightly above average. The offensive line class and the cornerback class in this year's draft is phenomenal. You have to go out and get at least one of those two positions, maybe a defensive lineman as well. Quarterback should be pretty low on that. I mean, I would say third or fourth on your list of needs.
Here's a good one. I had a friend send me a CBS Sports mock draft that they recently did. And they had the Steelers taking wide receiver Drake London at pick
number 15. Happening. Not happening at all. What would that even benefit? The Steelers have a $25 million jump in the cap space this year. And you're going to tell me that instead of just re-signing Juju Smith-Schuster, they're going to be like, let's go use our first round draft pick on a position that we don't need. They ran all season with Ray McLeod, but next year they're going to go, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. Last question here. What do you think about Kenny Pickett? What are your thoughts on Kenny Pickett? You're the Arizona State College guy. Let's hear your thoughts here.
Look, man, Pickett's a good quarterback. I've definitely kind of come around on the Kenny Pickett hype train. I would really like to see him in like a controlled environment to where he's throwing, you know, kind of against like high competition. And we will see that at the Senior Bowl coming up in a few months, actually. So very excited for that. Very excited to bring you guys a bunch of coverage from Mobile as well. I like Pickett. I don't know where to expect him to be drafted at. I don't expect any quarterback to be drafted at. I mean, there's talk that quarterbacks might not go until like pick 15, pick 20, which is a very weird thing to say about an NFL draft. But I mean, I'm sure there's months left in the process. I'm sure guys are going to kind of like elevate and you'll see their draft stock fall or rise. But at the moment, Pickett at worst is going to be drafted in the second round. You know, the draft hype train has done some crazy things. It drove Blake Bortles' draft stock to be a top five quarterback drafted.
True.
So, I mean, anything can happen.
EJ Manuel. People forget about EJ Manuel.
Geno Smith.
Geno Smith, another one. Geno Smith has at least lasted in the NFL. I'll give him that. Blake Bortles, Emmanuel, not a chance. Remember Andy Dalton's here? Those quarterbacks lasted about 12 months. Yeah. And then I think every single one of them was, I don't think whoever the Vikings drafted lasted one season and then retired.
Christian Ponder.
And I was like, that's how bad I think this quarterback draft can be. I will say this. I think Kenny Pickett has a lot of intangibles. When it comes to him being a winner, he is definitely a winner. When it comes to him being smart enough to work with a team and being a true leader, I think he has both of those. I think there's classifications. I think that a lot of people say things like, oh, Baker Mayfield is a leader and he's a winner. Different ends of the spectrum. Kenny Pickett will go win you a football game and that's how he will win, whereas Baker Mayfield will just kind of hype you up and try to, you know, push his team to be better. Both, you know, good intangibles to have. I think Kenny Pickett carries a better or higher stock in that classification. And because of that, I mean, I don't know. I think Kenny Pickett is going to be a good NFL quarterback. Do I think that he lands in Pittsburgh? No, maybe, but I'm going to say no for now. Second round pick would kind of surprise me though. I think he does go in the first round somewhere. I think somebody takes, I mean, if you're a team like a Colts or something and Kenny Pickett's sitting around and you don't know what the future of Carson Wentz looks like, I mean, that's a guy that you could draft late in the first round. I mean, here, Goff and Wentz, prime examples. L knows what I'm talking about here. Top five, top 10, maybe. Maybe. Matt Corral will definitely be the first quarterback off the board. I think that, like you said before.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Maybe it could be. I think that what I was going to say is just like you said, Mobile, I think that the Senior Bowl will decide the draft class for the quarterbacks this year. I think what they
I do think so as well, because the year that Justin Herbert and like all of those guys went out a couple of years ago, Herbert really saw his draft stock like going through the roof because he had a very nice week in Mobile.
That's what I'm saying. I think Kenny Pickett has a lot of the same qualities that, you know, like watching him in practice, watching him prepare an offense, I think that will go a long way in the eyes of NFL scouts. Before we get out of here, we do have to talk about one change that the Pittsburgh Steelers made this week. They let Adrian Clem leave to go to Oregon. From what Mike Tomlin said during his press conference, it kind of sounded like it was a Tomlin decision. Like, hey, look, we understand that you're going to go. You've told us that you're going to go. Let's just get this clean slate, you know, clean cut. You go to Oregon now, start doing your thing there. We're going to move on to Chris Morgan and let him, you know, show us what we got here. I think the biggest question, is this even at all fair to Chris Morgan, who is now stepping in as the interim offensive line coach with a shot to prove, again, he has held offensive line coaching jobs in the NFL before. But right now he's walking into a situation, possibly the worst offensive line in the NFL, with 2 weeks to say, I could do enough to turn this line around and show you guys that I deserve the job next season. Is that at all
fair? I think Morgan's playing with the house money right now. And I think there's only 2 weeks left in the season. I don't think the team's making the playoffs. I feel like there's no pressure on him, really, because if the offensive line play doesn't improve, there's not a chance in hell he can pin that on him, right? Like, there's no logical person that would say, oh, you know, Chris Morgan didn't get his guys ready to show up for the last 2 weeks of the season against two pretty good defensive football fronts, you know? Back to Adrian Clem, though, I don't think I've ever seen a Steelers positional coach leave before the season ended and the team was still like mathematically like alive in the playoffs. That's a really rare situation, man. Like, I definitely think it wasn't like a, hey, happy trails. No, thanks for everything you've done for us.
Oh yeah. No, it was definitely a lot more hostile then. It was definitely like, I get it that you're going to leave after the season. You're not in a good situation here in Pittsburgh. Just get the hell out. Just leave. Because we don't want you here anymore. If you're going to leave, this is just killing morale. And Tomlin said it. He's like, this eliminates distractions. Well,
interesting.
That's what he said. It definitely sounded more like a Mike Tomlin told him to get out than Clem was like, hey, you know, would it be okay if I left 2 weeks before the end of the season? I don't know. I don't think that it changes anything on the offensive line, but I mean, moving forward, it's a situation that you have to keep an eye on. I mean, what if you just lost your offensive line coach? I guess that's the part that nobody's talking about or hasn't talked about yet. You just remove the offensive line coach with 2 weeks left in the season. How bad can this get for the Steelers at this point?
Can't get any worse. I mean,
no, it can't get like you're telling me that the offensive line can't get worse. I think it could get worse.
Bro, if the last 15 games we saw was them rallying around each other for Adrian Clem, that dude should have been gone before the season started, dude.
So you're telling me that
the year even started.
So you're telling me that there's a possibility that they rally around Morgan?
No, but it can't get worse. I mean, Adrian Clem clearly was not moving any mountains for his football team, especially on the offensive line. His presence the last 2 weeks isn't going to be significant enough to like drastically change anything for better or for worse. I mean, I saw the news. I'm like, okay, well.
Yeah, I felt like it was very pointless news. Yeah. It wasn't a situation where you were like, oh man, that's
I mean, unless Adrian Clem has like nude pictures of Zach Banner that he wanted to blackmail him with, and then now like now that he's gone, like Banner can finally play at right tackle for whatever reason, and then
that could be it. If that's Chris Morgan's first duty here? He walks in first day, Wednesday they get into practice, and he goes, all right, Chooks, you're the left side, Dan Moore, sit down, you're done. Yeah, we'll talk about it next season. Kendrick Green, nope. J.C. Hasenauer, we're going to put you in there. We're going to see how that one works out. Kevin Dotson, you're coming back today. I don't even care how the ankle is. Zach Banner, right guard, our right tackle.
Good.
Let's test it out. I think it could work.
Fired up. Fired up. Something's got to change. Something has to change. And you know, I think this might be a really good opportunity for you to see if those guys could play at those other positions. Because clearly the ones they're playing at right now is not working.
Yeah, I think that we won't see those changes, at least not this week. I think that if they do lose, maybe next week, they make some, you know, last second decisions and just say, okay, we'll see what happens here as things Yeah, we definitely agree there, Derek. We definitely agree. And I think this goes full circle back to the Kenny Pickett, back to the offensive, or to the quarterback in the first round pick. You can't put a new guy back there and say Kendrick Green's your center. Chances are he's going to throw the ball over your head. Here's a good one, though.
They should.
They should, right? They should have did it. Here's the bigger question. What side should they do it to? Because I think that Kendrick Green should have came in here. The best case scenario for the Pittsburgh Steelers this season would have been J.C. Hasenauer playing center, Kendrick Green playing right guard, Kevin Dotson playing left guard. Don't even bother with Trey Turner. And if anybody thinks that Trey Turner's having a good season, I get at times he does in the box. Like if you tell Trey Turner to block straight ahead, he's totally fine. You tell Trey Turner to move to the left or the right, not a chance he's blocking anybody. And I think that would have been, J.C. Hasenauer, at least they trust him. Like, I don't know. I think that would have been a good situation. Then maybe nobody's talked about. I don't know. Maybe we're the first person to talk about it. It's something to keep an eye on. I think that moving forward, we won't see much change, but we could see an up-tempo offensive line. We could see guys that do rally around their guy. Chris Morgan, I hope he gets a fair shot at being an interim offensive line coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that's tough to say right now with the group that he's playing with. Thank you, everybody, for jumping on to another episode of All Steelers Talk. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/AllSteelersTalk and check out your favorite podcast host on Twitter @NoahStrack @DonnieDruin. And we will see you next time.